Such a joy to be here this morning. Amen. Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
Are you ready to receive the word?
Amen.
I'm going to have quite a bit of stuff we're going to go to here, as I feel like we're coming right out of the Feast of Sukkot, and I noticed a lot of the songs were about glory, and that's what the kavod. I wanted to talk to you about the glory of the Lord, because when you think about the Feast of Sukkot, it's the Sabbath is our weekly reset.
Amen.
And refocus. But I feel like Sukkot is our annual, our yearly 7 days to get our hearts, our eyes refocused and reset on what matters, right? Can you see it? And I've always been hallelujah, I'll take it. The Feast of Sukkot has always been fascinating to me. It's out of all the feasts. We love them all, right? Passover in the, if you think about it, in the spring, Passover and then Pentecost, we're remembering back, and the Lamb, Yeshua being the Lamb, and we're remembering back. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. But Sukkot, even though we're remembering back at Yahweh dwelling with the children of Israel, we know there was an indwelling we have by the Spirit of God today. And then, of course, as it was alluded to this morning, is there's a future tabernacling. That's the part I'm like, whoa, this is big. That's I've always been really fascinated with this one, because this is bigger than we really can comprehend, I think, right now. Because this is Yahweh coming down to tabernacle with his people in a world that Yeshua has set up that is fully glorifying him. I mean, what a day that's going to be, because so this morning, I like the big picture. Anybody like the big picture? I don't like just, sometimes if we were building this building, man, we told you, hey, I want you to come in here. There's a little room back here. We need you to put some sheetrock up and paint it. Now, you might say, okay, I'll do it, but what are we doing this for? What are we building? See, and our part in this big picture of the glory of the Lord filling the earth, so that the Father's throne is coming down to tabernacle with us. What a glorious reality. You're sitting there like, yes, yes. No, this is huge. This is the Yahweh himself is coming to tabernacle with us in a earth that Yeshua has fixed all the wrong things made right at this point. Now, today, we're not, sometimes I'll hit you with this a little early. Sometimes I'll say, and I'm not telling you, asking you this question, but sometimes I'll ask the question of, is the glory of the Lord filling the earth right now? And sometimes you'll get a surprising yes. If you think the glory of the Lord is filling the earth right now, boy, are you in for a shock. Because it is not. It's actually the furthest thing. You think about this. Yeshua is mostly ignored, blasphemed right now in the earth. Not even close to the glory of the Lord actually filling the earth. See the reality? Let that just sink in for a second. So that's where I'm going this morning. And what is our purpose on the earth? I don't know if you're familiar at all with the Westminster Catechisms. Anybody ever heard of those? Catechisms. Okay. It's okay. You don't need to know them. But basically, it was just a way where they did a question answer to teach children doctrine. Now, if you go through these, I think there's like 106. Do you know about them? There's about 106. There's probably about 4 or 5 of them that aren't correct. But there's a lot of really good ones. And the very first one, I've always been fascinated by this first one. Because the question is, what is the chief end of man? What is man's purpose? What were you created for? If you hadn't asked this question, you really might want to take a moment to think about that. What were you created for? And guess what the answer is? Close, that is part of it. To enjoy God and bring him glory.
Amen.
To enjoy Yahweh and bring him glory. Now, don't let the simplicity mess you up. Because even though it is simple, it isn't necessarily easy for us, but it is simple. Enjoying God and bringing him glory. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9, and we're starting verse 23. Like I said, I've got quite a few scriptures we're going to hit this morning, but make note of these so you can go back and relook at this, because I'm about to lay a foundation. See, that's another part of this. Coming out of Sukkot, I thought, what a better way for us to reset back on what is our purpose here, right now. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good to refocus on what matters right now? Here we go. Jeremiah, you don't bring it up here, do you? That's okay. If you don't have it, that's okay. Look at your phone, look at your Bible, whatever you need. Jeremiah chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 23. I love these two verses, 23 and 24, and you'll see why here. He says, thus says the Lord. Who's speaking? That was a kindergartner question, but it's important. Thus says Yahweh, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now this glory, the kavod is what we're mostly going to be talking about, and I will explain that later, but this one is the halal. There's probably about 9 Hebrew words for glory that pop up all over the place. So we're just trying to throw the word glory into places we think, but it's really good for us to get a hold of this. And this one, halal, is more of a praise or a boasting in. So he said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. And let not the rich man glory in his riches. He lays out 3 things there. Anybody catch it? Don't glory in your wisdom. Don't glory in your strength or power that you have. And don't glory in your riches. Everybody get those 3? Who's speaking? All right, verse 24. Now you should be, this should be underlined, marked up, placed all over the house. But let him, this is the Lord speaking to us on what we should be glorying in. But let him who glories glory in this. See what I mean? This is pretty important, wouldn't you say? That he understands and knows me. That knows is yada. Experiential, face-to-face, knowing. That he understands 2 things. He understands and knows me. Amen. Are y'all hearing this? This is what the Lord wants from us. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Exercising loving kindness. Everybody would say amen to that. We believe that. But judgment. We don't always amen that one. But there it is. He's exercising loving kindness. He's exercising judgment or justice, same word. For one, it's justice. For the other part, it's judgment. It works the same. And righteousness in the earth. The 3 things. That I'm exercising loving kindness, justice or judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. If Yahweh delights in something, should we be delighting in it? Yes. Loving kindness, justice or judgment, or righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. He's telling us that this is what I want you to glory in. I don't want you to glory in how smart you think you are. Right? How much power and influence you may have, or how much money you may have. But glory in this, that you understand, that's important there, and that you know me. And what is he wanting us to know about him? Is that he's exercising loving kindness, justice or judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Do y'all think it's strange that we don't, this is so massive, and you don't really hear this a lot. Amen. You don't really hear this preached on very much. I'm shocked often at how little I hear about this, because you'd think, like, this is massive. This is a gold treasure here in two verses that Yahweh's given us on how to live. See, it's important that we understand, what are we here for? What's the purpose? And what are we doing here? John 15. Starting in John 15, and we'll start in verse 7 just for the sake of time. The whole chapter of John is massive in 15, but chapter 15 has so much in it. But let's start at verse 7. John 15, verse 7. When you find it, say amen. Oh, there it is. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in him, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, if you go back and start at verse 1, which I want to encourage you to go back later, read the chapter. But it is about the bearing of fruit. It's the pruning to bear fruit. So he says, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Amen. By what? He's saying, you're abiding in me. You abide, now think about this for a second, you're abiding in him. You could actually throw the enjoying him in this abiding. Abiding in him, then, go back up to verse 7 real quick. My words abide in you, then you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Verse 8. By this my Father's glorified that you bear much fruit. So we abide in him, we bear fruit, and my Father's glorified. Enjoying him, amen. We bear fruit, that's how he's glorified, us bearing fruit. I think we've almost forgotten, church at large, that we should be bearing fruit. Much of the, it's wild to me how you'll see people that have been in church 30 and 40 years, they're harder, colder, and meaner than they were when they started. It's like something's wrong here. I want to be more tender to the Lord and to you as I get older. I'm 53. I know y'all thought I was 33, but I'm 53. But when I'm 63, I want to be more tender to the Lord. I want to have more fruit in my life than I do now. I don't want to be meaner and colder, right? Is anybody in here? Do you agree? Verse 9. I think we're going to verse... That's it. We want to... So what I want to get you a hold of is the abiding. We're going to enjoy him, to know him and understand him. We're going to bear fruit from that and only that, chapter 15 says. You're not bearing fruit any other way, but you're abiding. So we're enjoying him. We're abiding in him. We're bearing fruit. And by this, you're going to glorify the Lord. Okay, some of y'all haven't bought this yet, but you will. Because I'm about to show you, and we're going to go on a little run here to show you what the Bible says about his glory. Let's start in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. For the earth will be filled. Now, Habakkuk the prophet, he says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, isn't that an excellent Hebraic way to say that? How much water covers the sea? If the water recedes, it's still the sea and it's still covering. That means every single inch has the glory of the Lord. Amen. And it's the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And it says it will be filled. You can take that to the bank. Amen. But if you need another one, Numbers 14 and verse 19. Numbers 14 and verse 19. Are y'all okay? Okay, stay with me because we really are going somewhere. All right, you know, they're in trouble. Moses and Aaron are going to bat because they've been, all of them are complaining against Moses and Aaron. Now, Moses is going to bat for them to the Lord. He's praised, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy. What? I mean, there's such wisdom he's throwing out there. I think we just read right over stuff so quickly we forget. Look what he said, according to the greatness of your mercy. This is about you. Amen. Just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Verse 20. He says, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. That's good news, isn't it? The Lord immediately comes back. I have pardoned according to your word. I'm doing this because of you, Moses. 21. But not only you. And he throws this out there. I would imagine if Moses, Aaron, and other people would be in earshot of this, they would have been like, huh? Because then he throws out this. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Anytime you see the Lord speaking, we need to make note. Because it's always deeper and richer than just running right over it. And so right here is a perfect example of where he gives the answer, but then tosses this little nugget out there. But truly, as I live, if you were hearing this, if you were in the group hearing this booming Lord's voice, you'd be like, huh? What did he say? Because it doesn't really fit with what their understanding is. He says, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. He's saying, this is actually on my heart. You don't get this now, and you don't understand what I'm saying, but know this, as truly as I live, this is Yahweh talking, he's living his best life. He's living, and he says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Once again, he's throwing it out there. This is coming. You can't stop it. Amen. Satan can't stop it, although he wants to, and that will be his plan. He actually thinks, I'm going to do that for himself. It isn't going to work. And he's just stealing from the Lord of what the Lord is actually doing this. His glory will be filled in all of the earth. Okay, y'all hear? All right, here's another one, Psalm 72, verse 18. Psalm 72, verse 18. Psalms, there it is. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. I just threw this one extra. Who only does wondrous things? Yahweh doesn't do anything that's not wondrous. I just love that verse. We threw that one in there. Verse 19. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. I didn't say that twice. Right, look. Whenever you see something like that, that means I'm putting a stamp on it and then a big stamp on it. Twice. This is how huge that is. That let the whole earth be filled with his glory. This is, now start, some of you will start getting, the penny's going to start dropping, that this is what I'm created for. I'm created to bring him glory. See, sometimes we think that word glory, we're like, it's so ethereal. Glory to God, brother. It's like, you don't really mean that. You're just saying it. But it really is, it's concrete. It's not abstract. There is concrete way, and we'll get into this in a minute, that we're going to help bring glory to the Lord in the earth right now. That's what you were created for. Think about this. There are going to be Christians that pop up in front of God, Yahweh, at some point, and they're going to be like, I didn't even know what I was supposed to be doing. But you guys are in trouble. I'm telling you. You're going to be accountable for this. Sorry, by the way. But isn't it better to know? This is what I'm called to do. This is my purpose. Jesus is going to bring glory to the entire earth, and you're going to have a little room that you might get to paint in that big picture. But you have a place in it. We have an opportunity right now in this life to bring him glory, because that's his ultimate goal and purpose, is God being glorified. See, some of y'all, it's the penny's dropping, isn't it? Wait a second. I actually can play a part in this. I can live a life that brings him glory, not just a nominal pew dweller that goes off on Monday doing my own thing. I know that's none of you. Right. All right. One more on this. Isaiah 6, verse 3. Isaiah 6, 3. You know this one, but let's look at it real quick. These are angels. Now, angels are singing to one another and crying out. And one cried out to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, once again, that's a prophetic declaration. They're declaring this day is coming. Now, don't check out. Stay with me here. This day is coming. You got angels crying out to one another around the throne. You see the weight of this? We have to let the weight of this sink in on us, because this is what heaven is thinking about. The glory of the Lord filling the earth. This is what they're all about. This is what we are, should be all about. Are you here? This is what's here. There's one singular colossal purpose that shapes all reality and stands as the ultimate end of everything in the divine heart of God, and it's his glory. Now that can seem a little bit strange to us, a little bit, that God's ultimate purpose and goal is his own glory. But see, in our little brains, we can't fathom. He knows that it is to your best interest that he's glorified, and that all glory should go to him. See, if you start thinking about it just as little human, you, well, that doesn't seem right. No, it's because you don't understand what matters and the big picture. The big picture is him being glorified. And you're either, here's a shocker, you're either helping the cause or you're hurting the cause. One way or the other, by the way you're living. You're either bringing him glory with your life or you're not. One singular, colossal purpose that you were created for, I was created for, and it's to bring him glory. Are you here? We're not the center of everything, yet we think we are. We think everything is about us, especially in our Western America Christianity. We think this is all about us. What do I get out of this? When the reality is, it's what am I giving to him? You know, he isn't wanting a bunch of, in the natural, we wouldn't do this with our children. We wouldn't want a bunch of spoiled brat kids that think they're the center of everything. That wouldn't be good for them. It's really the same idea with us. We're his children. He loves us, and he does want great things for us, but it isn't about us. It's about him. I'm living here for his glory and for his purpose. We're living here for his glory. And I was seeing if I could get a better response there. Isaiah 48 and verse 9. Isaiah 48 and verse 9. I want you to see this one, because it helps us understand the Lord and where he's at. He's, once again, a prayer has been made. And he says, "For my name's sake, I will defer my anger." Whose sake? We sang it a bunch this morning. We were singing a lot of stuff that was going on. I don't know if y'all are going to make the connection, but for me, I'm sitting there like, oh, there's my message. We're singing it out. "For my name's sake, I will defer my anger. and for my praise, this is Yahweh, for my praise I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I've tested you in the furnace of affliction. Verse 11. For my own sake, here it is again. Whenever you hear a double saying it twice, it's a strong point that's trying to be made. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. Not for you, but for my own sake. For how should my name be profaned? And I want to tell you, in our nation and in the earth, his name is being profaned every day. I will not give my glory to another. He's not going to do it. He's not giving his glory to anyone else. Do you know there's one false idol that Satan is using, probably beyond any other false idol? Self. Self-preservation, self-centeredness, on and on you could go. And he says, I am the one, and it's for my sake. You are mine. Now, in the same token, he wants to be, we've got to understand that this is part of our, he loves us. We love him. We're enjoying him. That's why it says to enjoy him and bring him glory, because you're not getting away with bringing him glory without enjoying him. But when we realize it's actually all about you, you are the center. I'm not the center. This is all about you. I'm here for you, unto you, by you. Are you here?
Amen.
Look at Romans 11, 36. Romans 11, 36 says, For of him, that him there, who is that him there? Yeshua. For of him, and through him, and to him. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. It's all unto him. It's all through him, and all to him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. Make note of it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. This is just Paul reiterating it again. He says, and he is before all things. Does that leave anything out? Yeshua is before all things. And in him all things consist. Does that leave anything out? In him. All things consist. Do you realize you're not taking another breath except for Jesus is allowing it? Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things again. There's a ton of these all things, isn't it? That in all things he may have preeminence. In other words, supremacy. In all things. Do you realize that's why at some point, every knee, including Lucifer, is going to bow their knees and say, Yeshua HaMashiach. Every knee will do this because he will have full supremacy. Some of y'all aren't as excited about it as I am. It's true, though. He will have full supremacy at one point in the earth. This is our purpose. And that is the purpose that we're here right now. We have a little window called life that we get a chance to offer his glorification in a greater way in the earth, even if it's just little bitty in the big picture. It matters, and it's going to follow you forever into eternity. Isn't that good news? We think about all we get caught up because the enemy really wants to bring shame and guilt and keep us down. But the reality of things that you do unto him and for his glory that nobody even sees, he's going to remember it. It's going to be brought back up in a good way. One time I have two boys. I have two boys and two girls. And I have two boys that are 23 and one's about to be 21. And they're both on the mission field right now. And so if you can remember them in your prayers, one's in, Max is in Fiji. That's our 21-year-old. And he's been having some, they think he might have appendicitis, but they don't know. But he's in Fiji. So it's not, I'm sorry. Max is in Papua New Guinea. And there's not a lot of good hospitals there. So if you could jot his name down and pray for him, we've been believing for him for a little while. Victor, our oldest, he's in Fiji. And he has just taken he and his team have taken a 3-day boat ride out to a real remote place where the gospel hasn't even gone. So mom and dad are like, what in the world are y'all doing? But we've given them over into the Lord's hands and he's got them. But anyway, so back to these two, Victor and Max. They were about 9 or 11, 8 or 10, something like that, ages. And one day I was a little bit nervous about asking him this question. Because I said, hey, what is dad's thing? What would you say? And it took me a little while to explain it to him. I said, what is dad's thing? What is he most into? What would you say? And I was a little nervous about what they were going to say. But when I finally got them to understand the question, they had actually a good answer. Thank the Lord. I was like, whew, it was a good answer. But imagine if I asked that question to them, like, what is dad's thing? What is he really into? And they said, like, TV. Or they said, like, video games. The horror. Can you imagine the horror of them thinking that something is so important to me that absolutely doesn't matter at all? Now it's the same way with the Lord. What if we can't show up saying, I didn't even know what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't even know what my purpose was. Are you here? Amen. We're all going to stand before the Lord. And it really will be. How much glory did you bring me when we stand before him? Did you live your life to bring me glory? Over and over, the Bible points to God's own glorification as the ultimate purpose of everything he does. Isn't that something? We must let the weight of this theme bear down on us. Because I didn't just pull some random verse. This is over. You can find this over. And now that I've got your attention to it, you're going to start finding it. It's everywhere. Start to look at things like Jesus. He's doing miracles. They're saying, why did this happen? This was for the glory of the Lord, this person's healed. Why did this happen? For the glory of the Lord being manifest. It's over and over. What about salvation? Think about it. It suddenly starts to bleed over in everything. Salvations. You're not just thinking so that we can just have a bunch of saved people around. It's for the glory of the Lord that people are turning to him. You hear people praying for revival. What would be the purpose of a revival? For the glorification of Yahweh. That's the bottom line. It would be only for his glorification. What would be our gathering here? For his glory. This is why we're here. This is why we do anything. It's to bring him glory. Are you here? Amen. Remember in Matthew 5, 6, you can pull this one up if you want. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, but make note of it. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, but look at what he says here. Oh, I may have told you the wrong one. What's the next verse? Is it 7? No, sorry. I'll tell you what it is and then you find it. It's let your light so shine before men that he may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What verse is that? Anybody have it? There it is. 16. Sorry. I probably have the one. No, I don't have the one written. That's what I did wrong. Let your light shine. But then now think, let this verse help us a little bit more. This is Jesus saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Isn't that something? Amen. Let your light shine. Let the Holy Spirit manifest through you so much that when men see you, they glorify God. Well, what about glorifying me? I'm the one doing the good works. It's for the glory of the Lord. Amen. And Him alone. See, that's why when we get the crowns are being thrown before the Lord, because we realize, oh, I didn't have anything anyway. Any good in me and any talent, any gift in me, it was His. None of us got anything on our own. Everything is from Him, by Him, and to Him for His glory. Are y'all here? Is this making sense? Are you tracking with me? Amen. All right, now, how can we bring Him glory? Because I want to remind you, this isn't just in a vacuum. It's not ethereal. There is actually really things. Kavod, the Hebrew word, it's to honor. And that alone, there's a lot more to it. Splendor, respect, strength, power, magnificence. But I want you to just think about honor in place of glory for a second. Because now it does change. Because we can get in our heads a little bit better. Oh, to honor changes it. I'm to honor Him with my life is going to bring Him glory. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain Christ. He's counting it all loss for the knowledge of Him. And so I'm going to give you 4 quick areas. Can you handle it? The first one is allegiance. Our allegiance to Him. We can glorify Him through our allegiance. And you might think, okay, what does that mean? Obedience. Obeying Him. We're not just... I heard this analogy of somebody talking about going to the gym or lifting weights. And somebody going to the gym and thinking, that's me justifying eating this and eating that. Whereas somebody else who's really serious, they're coming to the gym and then they don't eat a certain way because they're maintaining something. I thought that's just like church. Some people are coming because they want to learn what I'm supposed to do. Then you got others. I checked the box so that I'm okay come Monday. And see, our obedience to Him is showing our allegiance to Him. Are you here? It's really similar to a boss. If you have a job and your boss says, I want you to do A, B, and C, and you go and do exactly A, B, and C, the same way they said, what are you doing? You're honoring. And now you've stepped into bringing the Lord glory when we do this from Him. Are you here? Amen. Allegiance. Next one, This is just the way my brain works. They're all A's. Attention. Attention. Now, this one is probably, we're in a weird time of history right now where this one is, our attention is so stolen. And we all know it. This thing's been rigged against us. They're not trying to help you. There's lots of good things we can do with a cell phone, but we all know the reality is it's more of a distraction than a help. That's really the bottom line. Anybody who says that it isn't, well, God bless them because they got something right. But I guarantee you won't find very many, if any. Because this thing has been created to distract. And so this is our attention. And so think about that. When you give your attention to someone, you're honoring them, right? And so when we give our attention to Him, this is how the part of abiding in Him would be giving your attention to Him, right? And so this is how we're honoring Him. To attention. So we got allegiance, obeying Him, attention, giving our thoughts. And by the way, it's your voluntary time. Because you say, well, I'm working here. I can't really give. I got my attention going here. But when you get to choose what you do, that's the time I'm talking about. You hear? All right. Next one, affection. These kind of run together a little bit, but they are definitely different. Affection. Our affection. Whatever you love, you're going to actually give your attention to. Now, I want you to imagine this. So on this note of affection, right now, this very moment, there are stadiums all across our country that are filling up 70, 80, 100,000 people. Right now, right as we speak. Is anybody checking their phone on the Arkansas game? It's okay if you are. No. There are yeah, according to Bill, that really is not. If you look, I'm okay with it. But they're filling the stadiums right now. And think about what some of them did. The ticket, who knows what that ticket would cost? 40, 50 plus, depending on where you're sitting. You might have to travel there. You might have to actually stay in a hotel. You're going to have to get food. So there's a lot of money being put in behind it, and your time is being put into it, right? And then here's the kicker, though. You get people in there full emotion. They will yell. They will cheer. They will cry. How much, what kind of affection is being put into this? When they'll hone in on somebody's face at the end of the game, a little girl, or maybe not even be a little girl, but somebody just tear coming down because their team didn't win. Do you realize it means nothing in the big picture? Now, I'm not against, I love it. I will probably check the score here in a minute. So I'm not against it. It's if it has priority and you're giving more affection to anything more than God, it's wrong and it could be sin to you. Down behind. That's it. Our affection. It shows how we honor the Lord. Our total affection should be to Him. Now, He's so gracious, kind, merciful to us. He understands all this better than we do. He understands what's tugging at us or pulling us or distracting us this way and that way. But I'm telling you, something will happen in your heart when you begin directing your attention, your affection, and your allegiance in His way. The Holy Spirit's really good about helping us if we'll ask Him, if we'll lean into Him. Number four, last one on this. Adoration. It's honor, but with the praise of our lips. Hebrews 13 tells us about the continuing offering, the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. See, there's an adoration that needs to take place. In Psalm 27:4, you can pull that one up. Psalm 27:4, you know it, but look at it. It says, "One thing that I've desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Two things. Did you catch those ending things? He says, I want to behold your beauty and I want to inquire. I want to ask and know you. I want to speak with you and you speak to me. I want to inquire of you to behold the beauty of the Lord. See, that brings us into adoration, the splendor and majesty. I think we get so far distracted in our eyes on some little thing. God gets smaller and smaller and in to us. But the more focus, attention, affection, and adoration we place on Him and keep our minds stayed on Him. That's the one part of Shabbat I love the most, is that it's a huge reminder. Chris, get back over here and set the gaze on the beauty of Jesus and His love and who I am in Him and who He is to me. Amen. That's what this is about. So in light of all this, think about where the earth is at right now and where we're going. It is really a great divide. Because here we are, like I said, this beautiful one, Yeshua, that created all things, is mostly forgotten. He's mostly ignored. He's mostly disobeyed. And that's in the church. And He's mostly blasphemed right now in the earth. But there's a day coming where He will be glorified in the entire earth. And here we are with an opportunity to say, I'm throwing in on bringing Him glory. You can imagine what that does to Jesus' heart when He sees us. This is little, my little paint job in the bathroom. But it's little, but it's huge to Him. That you say, your little heart and little self is wanting to add some glory to Him. That's what this is all about. That's what a relationship with Him right now is all about. Knowing the purpose of why we're here. Can I give you one more? In Luke 16, 15, make note of it and go back to it if you want and read the whole passage. But He says, Jesus here is speaking, and He said to them, He said, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. And now check this. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now I want you to think about all the things that we esteem mankind. Position, titles, fame, talents, food. Without question, we esteem food in our nation. There's no question. We don't even have any argument about that. Possessions, comfort, ease. And you know, one of the two greatest weapons of the enemy right now, wealth and pleasure. He wants to completely get us sidetracked with those two. that makes us think this is... Think about it. It's easy to see. Not everybody's chasing, for the most part, in the world, they're chasing stuff, and they're chasing money, and in the same breath, they're chasing pleasure. Jesus is not impressed with what impresses men. He's impressed. What do you think he's impressed with? Anybody know? Remember what he's impressed with? Faith. He's impressed with faith. Remember how excited he'd get when somebody would step out in faith or do something in faith? That impresses the Lord, bringing him glory. Okay, last verse. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Can you handle one more? Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, Abraham, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Could do a whole message on faith and bringing him glory, but right here it is, giving him glory. Look at verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Fully convinced. In that first verse, he says, one translation says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. Amen. So how another way that we're honoring him is through faith. We're trusting him. How does that make you feel if your kid was like, you said, hey, I'm going to come pick you up from your practice, and they were like, I'm not so sure. That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? You wouldn't feel so good about that if you were questioned in that way. Hello, that's what we do to the Lord. We act as if he's not going to be faithful in some way or another. See, we want to bring him glory. Do you? Amen. All right, stand up with me. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for this afternoon and this time that we could gather. And Lord, we want to be here for your glory. Lord, I ask you that every single person in this room, and even those maybe here and after the fact, Lord, that you would let this sink deep into our hearts, what we are here for and how we were created to enjoy you and bring you glory. Lord, we want to be a people that bring you glory in everything we do. Holy Spirit, help us with every action, every word spoken. Father, that you would check us if it doesn't bring you glory. That you would check our hearts and help us. We want to let the light of your glory shine through us that you would be glorified. Father, we ask you for your grace and help, your strength to do this. Thank you for the reminder. And we will rejoice in you and bring you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Yivarech Adonai beyishmerecha ya'er Adonai panav alecha vichunecha yisa Adonai panav alecha Vayesem lecha shalom.
When in the Central Arkansas area, we would like to invite you to join us in person. Shabbat service begins at 1 p.m. each Saturday, with Oneg at 3 p.m. and Torah study at 4 p.m. All service times are Central Standard Time. Thanks for watching.